Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everyone loves a good corner store, right? There's one in your neighborhood. It's close, it's convenient. You most likely know the people who work there. They know you. So we're going to talk a little bit about corner stores today in mom and pop grocery stores, specifically how there used to be dozens of them scattered around Wilmington, well over 200 at their height last century. I mean, people have fond memories of these places, maybe because for so many of us, me included, they're tied to and they were an integral part of our childhoods. This is Cape Fear Unearthed, the podcast exploring the legends, historical oddities, and landmark stories of southeastern North Carolina. I'm your host, John Staten, and I'm a reporter with the Star News here in Wilmington. We're a Gannett paper that's part of the USA Today network. Of course, it's not like the corner store is gone or anything. I mean, there's still plenty of them downtown, the Village Market at 2nd and Dock, Howard's at 5th and Castle, where you can get some fresh seafood. There's a corner store at 6th and Chestnut that's been that, where the one at 6th and Chestnut is, that's been a store for more than a century in that area. There's one at 8th and Ann Streets. Zora's, now it's called Ronnie's Crab Shack at Zora's on 14th and Castle, has been there off and on since the 1950s. You know, it's just that before the rise of chain grocery stores and convenience stores, there just used to be so many more of them. They were such more an integral part of Wilmington and living in Wilmington back in the day. At this point, I'm going to refer to a wonderful book by Wilmington historian Beverly Tetterton. It's called Wilmington, Lost But Not Forgotten, published in 2005. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful book that anyone who's interested in Wilmington history should have. Got a lot of old photos, drawings of downtown Wilmington, and there's a great section here on merchants and storekeepers. And there's a picture of a woman with two kids. It was called the Robbins family. It's called Frymuth's Grocery. It used to be on North 9th Street, and this dates back to 1915. And this is, you know, in the 19th and early 20th centuries especially, you know, there were no chain stores, right? Everything was merchants. And here Beverly talks about, you know, merchants starting out by, you know, leasing a small stand or a stall. And then eventually they would, you know, work their way up to having a storefront. There's just some great stuff in here. How about talking about a lot of the buildings downtown, you'll still see, you know, there were kind of storefronts built onto different houses. And a lot of those have been taken off over the years. But, you know, that's how a lot of people operated. They either lived in the loft above their store or they lived in the same building. And they would just put out the goods in the morning. A lot of these places had awnings. They would kind of cover up the groceries and stuff. And it's just and this is not just downtown. Obviously, back in the day, that's where most of them were. She's got a great section here on, you know, Brooklyn and North 4th Street. There was a bunch of stores there, especially in the early 1900s. If you look at my story about corner stores on starnewsonline.com, there's a great photo Beverly sent me of, it was called King's Store at around 600 North 4th, near where kind of Edward Teach is today and the kind of the train, you know, the railroad bridge. There was a store there, and it was, Brooklyn especially was a real melting pot. Even after the 1898 massacre, there was, you know, whites, blacks, Jews, all kind of people living in that neighborhood. Also, she's got a wonderful section here on Castle Street and Dry Pond, which is, there was a big store called the Palace Variety Store at 4th and Castle. It's not there anymore. She dates that back to about 1910. It's just a big old store. You know, it's on the southeast corner there where 4th and Castle, across from that little market now. Now, there has been several corner stores on the corner of 4th and Castle over the years. And it's just, you know, it's just a great, great resource. Like I said, if you get a chance to check out Wilmington Lost But Not Forgotten by Beverly Tetterton, wonderful stuff in there. Now, a lot of great pictures in that. Now, in this book I'm getting ready to talk about, this also talks about corner stores. This is just a wonderful, wonderful book. If anyone's ever not had the chance to read it, it's called Memories Yesteryear by a man named Robert Martin Fales. He was a Wilmington doctor, grew up here starting in the early 1900s. And it's just a wonderful book of his memories of growing up in Wilmington. Like I said, he was a doctor. In his later years, he also became a bit of a historian. And he's got, as I've said, a great section in here on corner stores, grocery stores and meat markets. You know, he goes back to the early 1900s. And this is actually where I read that the first chain store to come to Wilmington, Dr. Fales says, was the Cress, S.H. Cress, which was located in the Masonic Temple building where Port City Java, on the ground floor where Port City Java is today, and some other stores as well. That was really the first, you know, what they call the 5 and 10 cent store. But even, you know, up until then, everything was locally, independently owned. A lot of people were merchants. You know, a lot of people grew up to be merchants, ran their own stores, and that's just kind of how life was in Wilmington at that time. Dr. Fales talks about, and I talk about this in my story as well, there's a lot of wholesalers, you know, down by the river, water and nut streets. People would bring in the goods, and that's where your wholesalers would be, and that's where your merchants would go and get their goods and bring them back to their stores. Just like today, some stores had a better selection than others. You had the larger stores with, you know, canned goods and, you know, a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables, you know, the cured and salted meats. Now, the fresh meat, well, there was butchers, right? There was meat markets, and that's where people went to get a lot of that. Dr. Fales talks about how you could order if you were, you know, back then a lot of people didn't, you know, they didn't have a refrigeration in the early part of, or even electricity in the early part of the 20th century. If you knew you're going to have, you know, a big Sunday dinner and you needed, you know, some beef or something like that, you would kind of let the butcher know, order it, then you go down and pick it up Sunday morning. So it's, you know, it's not sitting around, and they would keep it fresh for you. And Dr. Fales did a wonderful job of just going through the city directory over the years and kind of just literally counting one by one these different retail grocers and wholesale grocers, meat markets, butchers, etc. And you can really see kind of the ebb and flow of these businesses over the years. The high, you know, he's got 1902, he's got 182 retail grocers, 26 wholesale grocers. There was a high of 222 retail grocers in 1914. That kind of ebbed and flowed over the years. That's, you know, down to 169 in 1920, back up to 207 in 1924, down a little 144 in 1940, but then shot back up after World War II, which Dr. Fales attributes to, you know, Wilmington's economy really improved after World War II, so there's more retail stores. And then they kind of, you know, throughout the latter half of the 20th century, that mostly hovered around 150, but then you really kind of start to see them head down around 1980. This is really after the bigger grocery stores started to come in town. A&P, I believe, started in the 1950s, and Winn-Dixie came in. A lot of people remember Parker's. Parker's had several grocery stores. Wilson's in the 80s especially started to kind of take hold. And then by 1985, Dr. Fales talks about there's only 64 stores that were, you know, mom-and-pop grocery stores, essentially. So, you know, things that, and obviously this wasn't just happening in Wilmington. This was happening all over the country as, you know, changes in food production really, you know, developed and progressed, I guess you could say. But like I said, just there's something about these, you know, these mom and pop chains that people really, really remember. And I think it kind of is, like I said, goes back to people's childhood. I put it out to our Cape Fear Unearthed fans on our Facebook page, and I got a lot of great stuff. If you haven't seen that thread, it's a wonderful one to go through. And like I said, most of these stores were downtown, but not all of these stores were down. They were scattered all throughout Wilmington, and they got more, I would say, scattered over the years. Rene Barov talks about there used to be a couple on Wrightsville Avenue in the Spofford Mill area, kind of near where I would say Forest Hills Apartments is. I know there's a little, there's some little stores along Wrightsville near that area. There were, she says, one that she remembers was called Himby's and one was called Hobbs. And then Sherry Pridgen talks about, and this is, some people had some really good memories. One person talked about how they could smell Tiny's Grocery Store in Longleaf Park on Marion Drive. She said they would get like penny candy and what they could call funny books, comic books, and drinks. And, you know, Tiny's is a place I don't remember, but apparently other people have really strong memories of that. Now, Lynn Crowley Atkinson talks about Parker's on Market Street, where there's a Port City Java there, and the big building behind it, there's a church now, and also Burnt Mill Creek Bar, and there's that little pizza arcade as well now, but back in the day, that was a Parker's grocery store. I remember going in there as a kid, and then it became Carolina Farman for a while. But that was, it was a small chain, independent, you know, grocery store chain that was there for a while. I used to go to Annie Snipes as a kid back in the 80s, and I'd walk, you know, we'd walk through across Market Street. You know, there was a little store there. We'd go to Parker's. Also, on Market Street, not too far from Parker, there was people remember Carney's, which is, the building is still there next to the Amoco station. I believe it's a lawyer's office now. But a lot of people have very fond memories of Carney's. One person talking about, you know, they went to Google Maps and mapped their route to get to how they used to ride their bikes to Carney's through the neighborhood. Herb Harris talks about there being he said there was a B&B market at Dawson Street, which was, and he said he remembers, oh, I'm sorry, he says Himby's was on Dawson Street, and he says the proprietor was a guy named Basil Himby. He said that they would order groceries by phone, and they would, you know, deliver them on bicycle to different places. So, yeah, there was, you know, you could just, like, you know, you get your deliveries today, you could get them back then as well, but it was probably some teenager on a bicycle in the 50s. And then if you look at the video I did online, there was a bunch of little stores on Castle Street. I think a lot of people remember the Joy Grocery, the Joy Grow, as the sign said, on Castle between 2nd and 3rd. There was another larger store on Castle, on 3rd and Castle. Like I said, going back decades, there was one on 4th and Castle. There's been several different stores on 4th and Castle. Another little fun side note from my story. Anyone who's ever had the Carolina Treat barbecue sauce, that kind of came from, that was, you know, basically invented at a corner store at 4th and Chestnut back in the day. It became a, you know, if not a nationwide brand, a regional brand for sure. And just kind of want to wrap up with this one, because I thought it was just, like I said, really kind of drove home how tied these corner stores are to our memories. Al Cook writes to me. He went to Winter Park Elementary School down there off of College Road. And he said there used to be a store called Sneeden's near Winter Park. He said it was on Park Avenue near, right off College Road. He says maybe around 46. He says that a lot of his neighbors did their grocery shopping there, and you could actually get ground beef. And he said Mr. Sneeden would grind it up right on the spot. There was also an old shoe store there, he says, there as well. There was a soda fountain. You could go and get your, you know, your soda. And they would put in the syrup, then they would put in the carbonated water, which is how they used to do it back in the day. This is from the 50s, whereas a lot of people are remembering those days from the 50s. But now, you know, but like I said, these stores have a long history in Wilmington, and things are a little bit different now. But, I mean, they have a long history in our area, and it's just so tied to place, I feel like. You know, and a lot of these, you know, some of these stores are still around. Like I said, when I go into Howard's, I live near Howard's at 5th and Castle, you know, you can go get fresh seafood there right now. And people are kind of, you know, coming in from the neighborhood, driving up, walking up to get their seafood just like they did back, you know, back in the old days. So I think this has just been a really fun story to work on. And I would love to hear any more comments or memories from people. If you go on our Facebook page, I'm going to post the story. Should be posted there now. Feel free to comment. I'd love to, you know, discuss and find out even more about some of these corner stores. And that's it for this episode of Cape Fear Unearthed and our look at the history of corner stores in Wilmington. We'll be back soon with another chapter of Wilmington history. Till then, make sure you're a member of our Facebook group where listeners can ask questions about our episodes and share their own memories of the region's history. In that group, I post extra content from each episode and links to all my coverage of local history for the Star News. You can find that group by searching Cape Fear Unearthed on Facebook. And don't forget to sign up for the Cape Fear Unearthed newsletter that goes out every Thursday. Sign up for the newsletter at starnewsonline.com/newsletters. Cape Fear Unearthed was written, edited, and hosted by yours truly, John Staten. You can find more of my work at starnewsonline.com. This podcast was made possible by listeners and readers like you. Support local journalism in Cape Fear Unearthed by subscribing to the Star News today at starnewsonline.com/subscribe. And while you're subscribing to things, be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you stream this show so you never miss an episode. While you're there, leave us a review, which will help more people find Cape Fear Unearthed. Till then, get out and explore the Cape Fear region on your own. You never know what you might unearth.